This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Conflict and controversy continue to plague the UNC Board of Governors. New reporting shows a lawyer connected to two board members misrepresented himself to obtain footage of former ECU Interim Chancellor Dan Gerlach. Gerlach was caught on video drinking with students and walking unsteadily back to his car and then driving off. Closed-door meetings of the UNC System Board last week left a lot of unanswered questions, some of which are coming to light through public records obtained by WBTV investigative reporter Nick Oxner in Charlotte. Nick, welcome to the State of Things.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Let's get right at this and try to get at the center of this story and start with the video in question and a lawyer, Pete Romery, and walk us through the various attempts that were made to make that video available.
Sure. So an attorney who lives in Hillsborough and splits his time between Hillsborough and Greenville, named Peter Romery, you just referenced, is the lawyer who ultimately filed a petition in the Pitt County Superior Court to get video of Dan Gerlach that you just described there on the night that he was out drinking late into the evening. He ultimately filed that petition and got the video on behalf of the Police Benevolence Association and the Fraternal Order of Police. But we now know that he had been trying to get the video on behalf of some other folks as well, including unnamed members of the ECU Board of Trustees, unnamed members of the UNC Board of Governors, and he claimed to be trying to get the video on behalf of State House Majority Leader John Bell and other unnamed legislators. We now know, though, that the only Board of Governors member who ever hired Peter Romery to go obtain the video is Board of Governors member Tom Fetzer, a lobbyist, a former state Republican Party chairman, who confirmed to me after we got this latest round of public records that he did in fact retain Romery as an individual in his personal capacity to go do that.
All right. So this is interesting because it's all this kind of behind the scenes work. You got a board of governors who does retain an attorney. The attorney then does not represent that to the people he's asking the video, you know, to get the video. He doesn't tell them that. And I wonder why not. Why so secret? This seems to have some public value. We're talking about a public employee here, ECU interim chancellor, and a very serious matter that's being considered by the board of governors. Why not say we need this video as part of what we're doing here?
Isn't that an interesting question? So this all started at the end of September when photos and video of then Interim Chancellor Gerlach drinking publicly out at a bar late into the evening. He was placed on paid leave while the UNC system was investigating the events of that night and whether they rose to the level of him being taken out of the job. Ultimately, Gerlach resigned about a month later after these videos came to light, after Romery obtained the videos and they came to light. In the interim, the UNC system hired a law firm, the law firm Womble Bond Dickinson, one of the biggest, most well-known and well-respected law firms in the state, to conduct the investigation into Gerlach and some surrounding issues at ECU and the Board of Governors. So lawyers for the UNC system were conducting their investigation, and the public records I obtained show that they had they'd made some requests about, or some, they made a phone call about the video to an attorney for the city of Greenville, but they never filed a request for it in court, and there's no record that they ever asked the video to be preserved until literally hours before the video was going to be erased and after they learned Peter Romery had already obtained the video. So I have yet to get an explanation from the UNC system why its own lawyers hadn't gone through the formal court process prior to Peter Romery obtaining the video. So separate from that, we have Tom Fetzer, who hired Peter Romery to go get the video. And Fetzer has now said and acknowledged that he hired Romery and said he did it because he had concerns that the lawyers conducting the official investigation weren't going to get the video and weren't going to do a thorough and adequate job.
And it's very possible that if all this hadn't been done, you know, the tape would have been erased and it may never have come to public view, right? I mean, that's possible.
Oh, the records are very clear that literally a lawyer for the UNC system emailed a lawyer for the city of Greenville at like 7:30 p.m. One Friday evening on October 25th. This was literally hours before the video was about to be erased by the computer system because the video is only maintained for 30 days. They emailed exactly 30 days after the incident. And so it was set to be erased mere hours later. It wasn't because the city, the records paint a picture of city IT staff in Greenville scrambling to make sure the video is preserved for a little bit longer, and ultimately it was not erased, but literally only because of that last hour request.
So it really is a puzzle. Why all the cloak and dagger? Because now this looks like a really shady deal. Tom Fetzer does not disclose until he's confronted with by the fact that he has in fact hired a lawyer who didn't disclose who his clients really were, and in fact were saying his clients were someone other. That's a very shady deal. It appears apparently a shady deal, and it makes the public wonder about the public's business, right? It's very, very quizzical. I mean, I wonder if anybody's bothered to answer sort of that question. Why didn't you just come forward and do this publicly, Tom Fetzer?
My job would be too easy if people just answered questions like that, Frank. But, you know, it's interesting. I'd done a story just a day previous that identified connections between Peter Romery and Tom Fetzer and Harry Smith, another Board of Governor member who's recently announced his intention to resign. He was, until this summer, the chairman of the Board of Governors. And the day before, Tom Fetzer declined to comment when I asked if he had hired Peter Romery to go get this video. And so the next day, I get these records. I call Tom up again. I say, hey, these records show that you're texting John Bell saying Peter Romery is representing you. Again, John Bell, the State House Majority Leader. What say you? And that's when he acknowledged it.
Not only that, but also it's very important to keep this quiet, I think was one of the quotes.
Quiet in all caps. That's right. So that's in a text exchange that I ultimately got the screenshots of from Representative Bell between him and Tom Fetzer. And Fetzer emailed or texted Representative Bell asking Representative Bell to call that city attorney for the city of Greenville and say that he was going to retain Peter Romery, this outside lawyer, and that Representative Bell wanted the tapes as well. That's what Tom Fetzer asked him to do. There's no record that he ever did that. Representative Bell says he never talked to Peter Romery, has had no interaction, has made no efforts to obtain these tapes. But there's this text conversation, and absolutely, Tom Fetzer says very important to keep this quiet, quiet in all caps. And send some other messages related to, you know, Romery's ability to keep his work for Representative Bell confidential.
Let's talk more about Peter Romery. Who is he and what do we know about him?
Yeah, so he's an attorney who lives in Hillsborough, claims to have this practice in Hillsborough in Greenville, North Carolina. He is part of also affiliated with a firm that claims to be run by former CIA officers, and they represent themselves out to be kind of intelligence gatherers and information gatherers for corporations mostly. We know that Tom Fetzer has hired Peter Romery one other time before to do some kind of background research. You may recall there was a small controversy surrounding a candidate for chancellor at Western Carolina University in 2018 who was going to be hired and then ultimately did not become chancellor after Tom Fetzer, with the help of Peter Romery, uncovered some misrepresentations on that candidate's resume. And so Romery holds himself out to do background research, legal work related to corporations and the like. And he has done this work for Tom Fetzer now at least twice.
You mentioned Tom Fetzer's work previously as a lobbyist, and it seems like the Board of Governors are becoming kind of a protected area for North Carolina lobbyists. And I'm wondering if there's some public accountability for appointees as more details come to light. And maybe you can shed more light on sort of how this Board of Governors has changed in recent years.
Yeah, so I was just reading a good article from Travis Fain at WREL, who just as out today, that accounts for, I think, four lobbyists on the Board of Governors right now, two former lobbyists, two other former lawmakers on the Board of Governors. They're appointed, the Board of Governors is appointed entirely by the General Assembly, half by leadership of the House, half by leadership of the Senate. And they are the ultimate overseers of the UNC system, all the campuses across the state. And so they oversee the president. They have purview over all of the operations of the UNC system. And it's not clear at all if there is anyone overseeing the Board of Governors, except for, you know, what we're doing right now, talking publicly about the actions that we can uncover and report on. And it's not even clear that a member of the Board of Governors can be removed by the legislative leader that appoints them. So when you talk about accountability, I'm not sure, other than the public accountability and our reporting and talking about them, that there is any other avenue for accountability here.
Nick Oxner is WBTV's investigative executive producer, WBTV in Charlotte. Nick, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
We have links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, what would Jim Baker have been without the appeal of Tammy Faye? Talk about the power and celebrity of women of the Evangelical Church on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.